Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rohn. We start our third and final hour. Hope you're having a good day. Nice to have you here live in the Quicken Loans studios. Quicken Loans, mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans. Coming up in 35 minutes, Xander Schauffele, PGA Tour Pro, joins us. That'll be the last segment of the program, meaning I've got two segments that are wide open right now, 1-800-636-8686. We've talked about some of the matchups in the NFL this weekend. We've talked about some of the hirings around the NFL. Let me go back. I want to talk about the reaction to the championship game Monday night. In the meantime, you should call me right now. But it is Wednesday. So by Wednesday, everybody's had a full day for Clemson's beatdown of Alabama to sink in. So it feels like now would be a pretty good time to check in on Alabama, on the players, and see how they're doing. And the answer is not that great. That's a beatdown, a beating that is going to take a while to get over. And it's not just that they lost, it's that they've got to hear about it from everybody the entire offseason. Now, nothing is more tired than the concept of calling something a hot take. That phrase can take a seat on the bench right next to screaming, "Are you not entertained?" after anything that's not even entertaining at all. That said, in the wake of Nick Saban and Alabama getting humiliated on national TV, there were some folks who were flying in with the most whack claims. You know about what that meant to Saban, what that meant to the future of Alabama football. A lot of folks were saying that Clemson is the new Alabama already, that Dabo is the new Saban, that Alabama's finished, you know, things like that. But even those ideas, most of which were totally absurd, even as absurd as they were nothing compared to what Alabama defensive lineman Quinnen Williams has been going with. Now, before I share this, let me remind you a little bit about who Williams is. The Outland Trophy winner this year. He could very well be the first pick in this year's draft. And my man's got takes. Takes and takes. Takes for days. Starting with Clemson's offense.
Oh, it wasn't hard at all. It was very easy. They kept a lot of our men errors. We made a lot of men errors. They ain't come out to do nothing special. We played greater offense than that, like Oklahoma offense or Georgia offense. We just made a lot of men errors. We made a lot of men errors, and they capitalized on it. That was good teams do. They capitalized on men errors.
What? Clemson could have named their score. Clemson could have done essentially whatever they wanted. They did do whatever they wanted. But you're telling me, quote, they're not hard. They're not hard. Quote, they're very easy. My man, they averaged more than 7.5 yards per play. But they were very easy. I mean, come on. What would they have done if their offense was as good as Oklahoma's or Georgia's? Something else he said, that they were not as good as either Oklahoma or Georgia. If they put up 44, which in fairness to Williams includes a pick six, but they did so with a, quote, very easy offense, what could they have done with a hard one? 70, 80? But he was just getting started.
No, they didn't really do nothing. They covered us guard, man. We knew everything was coming, man. They ran zone, and they ran go routes, 50-50 balls. Trevor Lawrence threw the ball a little. He put them on the money, dropped down, none of that. He just threw them up, and the receiver made plays. You got to get all the respect to the receivers.
Did you listen to what he just said? Quote, Trevor Lawrence just threw the ball up. It ain't like he just put it on the money, dropped dimes. None of that. He just threw them up and the receivers made plays. You've got to give all the respect to the receivers. End quote. My man, you're a great player. A great player. But if you hit Trevor Lawrence as hard during the game as you did after the game, maybe you would have won the game. Look, I get it. You want to make sure the receivers get their due. And they did. Justin Ross put on a damn clinic. He had a year's worth of highlights in one game against you. So yeah, you want to give him his respect. But are you kidding me when you say Trevor Lawrence just threw the ball up? Quote, Trevor Lawrence just threw the ball up. I mean, that's the angle that you're taking on that one. Because that's ridiculous. That's almost as ridiculous as those plays that Ross made on you all game long. But let's circle back to this notion that Alabama's defense knew everything that was coming. If that was true, and you did know everything that was coming, what the hell happened? Because you look completely lost out there. That defense looked like they had no idea what was coming. Guys running free in the secondary. They never got any pressure on Lawrence. Clemson did whatever the hell they wanted to on offense, and that's apparently with an easy offense. And Alabama's defense knowing what was coming. They had a really easy offense, and Alabama knew exactly what was coming. And still, couldn't stop them. Yeah, I get it. You just got beaten down. You lost. It sucks to lose. It hurts to lose. Maybe you don't want to hype the opponent after a beating like that. But tip your cap. Tip your cap. Keep moving. Trevor Lawrence played a hell of a game. He wasn't sacked. He didn't have a turnover. He threw for more than 300 yards. Watching that game, you might have thought that Trevor Lawrence was a lock to be the first pick in the draft as soon as he's eligible. But not Williams. Williams was not impressed.
The receivers really adjusted on every ball he threw because he didn't throw great balls. He didn't throw, like, pinpoint balls. He just threw 50-50 balls. He threw it up. Let his receivers make plays, and his receivers made plays.
I mean, dude, I'd say what game were you watching, but you played that game. I mean, Q, Trevor Lawrence had 374 total yards and three touchdowns and barely threw a bad ball all night. That was not just a matter of him throwing the ball up or him throwing 50-50 balls every time he dropped back. Look, again, I know you're a young dude. I know it hurts to lose on the biggest stage, especially the way you all lost. But saying that Clemson's offense was really easy and that Trevor Lawrence just threw the ball up is a terrible look. Almost as bad as you all looked on the field. To quote the great Phil Jackson, give them some bleeping credit. I mean, for real.
Give them some credit. I mean, for real.
Give them some bleeping credit. I mean, for real.
Credit. I mean, for real.
The guy didn't really throw a good ball. He threw 50-50 balls. There was nothing really pinpoint. He just put it up there and his receivers made plays. I mean, come on, man. Really? Q, you're better than that. I thought you were. But then again, I thought your team was too. That's a bad look. That is a really bad look. Look, if you're going to win the way you do and put it on people and bully people, man, you best lose with some class. And that's not what that is. Dear Rome, is my first order of business being a quarterback whisperer. I'm going to sit down with Josh Rosen and get him a $200 haircut. Signed, Cliff. Stephen PHX. War Cliff Kingberry. And Sean McVay trying out the 5 o'clock shadow. Trying to out 5 o'clock shadow each other next year. Damn, Steve, you got me working hard, bro. Trying to out 5 o'clock shadow each other. My first order of business of being a quarterback whisperer. I'm going to sit down with Josh Rosen and get him a $200 haircut. I doubt my man spends $200 on haircuts. What can I say, man? The guy's young guy's a handsome guy with a great offensive mind and a pretty good cut. Hey, Jim, all these McVay guys getting jobs are just the beneficiaries of who they work for. Signed, Kyle Bland. Drew in West LA. Kyle Bland is doing great. Couldn't be more proud of my man. Anybody else? Can you make it better? I know you can make it worse. You do that all the time. Can you make it better? Can you make the show better? That wasn't the only issue coming out of Bama. There was a radio station that right after that game played a radio spot about how you could pick up your national championship merch. That happened. That always happens. Rams and Dallas. Really interesting matchup. Who do you like there? I'll tell you what, looking at all the spreads on these games, I can make an argument for every one of the road dogs this weekend. Literally every one of the road dogs. I haven't decided yet. I haven't decided how I'm going to get down. But I could make an argument for every single one of the road dogs. Dave in KC tweets, this Alabama guy is so right. Trevor Lawrence was throwing 50-50 balls. Regards, Cal Ripken is overrated.
I heard you talking about Cal Ripken and his stupid overrated record. Cal Ripken sucks. He's overrated. He's was overpaid. He did nothing good. He's average player at best, who had a crappy record because he didn't play that hard. And so everybody thinks he's so great. Wow, he played a bunch of games in a row. Good job there, tough guy. I would pay $1 million just so I could spray that guy in the face with a full mace spray.
It's my favorite take ever, I think. One, because, I mean, you can go point, 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 point. The guy said like 10 utterly absurd things. But even worse, he didn't do it just to do it. Like, he meant it. You can hear the disdain in that guy's voice, the hate, the venom in that guy's voice. Like, he really believed that. All those things he said. Starting with, I'd pay $1 million to spray that guy in the face with a can of mace. No, you wouldn't. Like, you'd have $1 million. Bro, like, you'd have 20 bucks even. Stupid, overrated record. He sucks. Oh, yeah, way to go, tough guy. Played a few games in a row. Average at best. I mean, he just went point, 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 point. Every single one of those points. That was an actual call on this show. A stupid, overrated record.
Cal Ripken sucks.
Okay, let's do some dings here, Alvin. Cal Ripken sucks. Hall of Famer.
You talking about Cal Ripken and his stupid, overrated record?
Stupid, overrated record.
He was overpaid. He did nothing good. He's average player at best, who had a crappy record because he didn't play that hard. And so everybody thinks he's so great. Wow, he played a bunch of games in a row. Good job there, tough guy. I would pay $1 million just so I could spray that guy in the face with a full mace spray.
Oh, wow, you played a bunch of games in a row. Way to go, tough guy. Yeah, like 2,100 games in a row? You mean like 18 years in a row without missing a game? Hey, way to go, tough guy. You played every game this week. Stupid, overrated record. He sucks. He's overpaid. He did nothing good.
And his stupid, overrated record?
Multiple MVP-er. Stupid, overrated record. 19 All-Star games. That's a call for the ages. I'd give that guy a golden ticket, too, if I knew who it was. But that 25th Smack-Off is going to be great. The 25th annual Smack-Off. Should bring that guy in there, too. Or the Hack-Off. Speaking of Hack-Offs, let's go to Parody Larry. Hey, Lawrence, what's up?
Hey, Jim. Happy New Year. And it's good to see Hawk back, even though he sounds like he's still suffering from bird flu. Anyway, to all you Chicago Bear fans who are messing with Cody Parkey, listen, that field goal try was tipped. It was slightly tipped, which is a lot more than Waitress gets when they serve Tiger Woods. And Ray Lewis, that dance, that chicken dance he did.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Damn it, Larry. If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times, and I don't want to say it again. Your name is Parody Larry, not Horrible Take Larry. Get to the freaking Parody. You have a gloss. Remember it. Parody Larry. Do not come in here and set up your horrible parody with even worse takes. Get to the freaking song, bro. Parody Larry. I don't go to Larry in Frisco. I just go to Parody Larry. Go to the songs. Nobody wants your takes on Hawk and the bird flu and Tiger Woods and the chicken dance. Just get to your horrible parody so I can run that. You didn't even do it. All right, when we come back, Rams and Dallas, I want to get into it. Who do you like in that game? USC had Cliff K, and he got away. Should they have even gone there? And again, what are your thoughts on these hires? I've already given you my takes. If you could somehow get into these takes without talking about how fat somebody might be, what it means to their place at the dinner table. If we can just talk football, that'd be awesome. Try and do that. Last chance to do it. Xander Schauffele is coming up at 40 past. We're talking golf then. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You've heard me talk about Peloton. Peloton is a game-changing indoor cycling bike that brings the energy of a live studio class right to your home. Anytime you want, winter or summer, rain or shine, with the Peloton bike, it's always the perfect weather to sweat. Learn more at onepeloton.com, onepeloton.com. Hit mine yesterday. Had to have it. It was so good. Good 45-minute workout. Felt great. Xander Schauffele is coming up next segment. Quickly, so we talked about Cliff Kingsbury and what that meant to Arizona. But what's it mean to USC? Right? I mean, the news is official. In Arizona, he gets that gig. He's their head coach. But here in SoCal, it means exactly one thing. Cliff Kingsbury, you are not the offensive coordinator. You are not the offensive coordinator. Trojan fan, how's that grab you? After losing 5 of 6 to end your season, the one W that you did manage was landing Cliff to fix your offense. And he was not around long enough to even coach a practice. Remember that, quote, stability that A.D. Lynn Swan was talking about when he made that decision to stick with Clay Helton as head coach? That USC was going to roll with their dude and just surround him with better coaches because they wanted stability. Well, that better coach just treated his time with the Trojans like a frat dude on spring break. A couple of weeks in the sun, a couple of nights in the club, and the first chance to bounce, he did. And you can't blame the guy either, right? Of course he left. Everybody would. He just parlayed getting fired at Texas Tech into a head coaching job in the NFL. That's not easy to do. In fact, that is the greatest example of falling forward I have ever seen in my life. Fired at Texas Tech, and he parlayed that into a head coaching job in the NFL. That's like some kind of magic trick. And with a contract buyout that was only $150,000, there was no deterrent for him or to him bouncing. And there was no way USC could keep this guy. There was no way USC could expect him to stay when he was offered an NFL head coaching job. So don't blame Cliff for bouncing. And don't get this part twisted. I get trying to bring this guy in. USC had hit rock bottom. USC had to try something. And even for a moment, there was some positive buzz around that program when he arrived. But only for a moment, because that's how long he was there. And then he bounced. And now they look even worse than they did before they brought him in. I mean, I'd love to say, hey, listen, you had to take your shot. You had to do it. But they look worse, right? I mean, look how badly they got played. That's USC that just happened to. And so he gets out of there easily and lands on his feet. And then where does that leave USC? And by the way, a better question, what the hell happened to USC? A decade ago, Pete Carroll won his third straight Rose Bowl. That was his 7th straight season of finishing in the top 4 in the AP. Natties were being won. Heismans were being stacked. There was no better place on the planet to be a college football player. Period. They would play anybody, anywhere. They won every big game they played that was not against Vince Young. I mean, yes, Peter did play fast and loose at times with NCAA rules. Sometimes his guys would lose games that they were not supposed to lose. But now, USC is not just losing games that they're not supposed to lose. They're getting clowned by a 2-win UCLA squad. They're losing offensive coordinators before they can even move into their office. I mean, that's some kind of decade for SC. Peter bolts for the NFL. The NCAA drops the hammer on Troy. Kiff gets gassed on the tarmac. And Sark gets blasted on the job.
Get ready to ride on, baby. Let's go!
Sark gets blasted on the job. But Clay Helton gets to keep his job. And remember, when he kept that job, remember the press release that they dropped at that time? They kept him, but they ethered him with their own press release. Quote, "We acknowledge and understand our deficiencies in areas that include culture, discipline, schemes, personnel, and staff." Let me run that back to you one more time. They said this about a guy. They didn't fire this guy and then justify it by saying, here's why. Because we had deficiencies in culture, discipline, schemes, personnel, and staff. They kept him, and then they said that. Deficiencies in culture, discipline, schemes, personnel, and staff. What the hell else is there? There's nothing else when it comes to a football team. I mean, that's all? That's all? Look, losing assistant coaches happens. And it happens especially to successful programs. Not that SC is right now. But, I mean, look at the Nictator. This guy's running a revolving door in and out of Tuscaloosa. But you can't lose an OC, especially when he's the most important person on the staff, before he even coaches a practice. And you sure as hell can't lose him after you hype that hire like it was the biggest thing to hit SoCal since Botox. So fight on, Trojan fan, and just hope that Herb feels rested and recovered about 12 months from right now. Let's start the clock on that. Herb coming to L.A. How awesome would that be? Run the clock. Herb. Herb will do a new contract with his family. Sign a new contract with the family. He's feeling fresh, rested. And he is a football coach, and he's all about molding young men. Doctors will say the climate. I'm not saying that he does not have physical condition, because he does. But I'm sure the doctors will say, oh, yeah, the climate there in L.A. is great. Don't worry about that smog. Smog's overrated. So is traffic. Set the clock to it. Urban L.A. would be perfect. Here, Rome. It means absolutely nothing to USC. Their guy, Herb, is going to unretire and coach there in a year anyway. Yeah, it's great. Now I'm agreeing. Well, actually, I'm not. First, Dan. Dan's agreeing with me. That would be so rich. I will be so disappointed if that doesn't happen. As disappointed as USC was to lose Cliff, imagine this. I'd be 100 times more disappointed if Herb is not well-rested, does not knock out a new contract with his family, and then come here to work. Live, work, and retire. I'll pick you up at the airport, Herb. Let's do this. Be perfect. Herb and Chip are going after it. Put it on the clock, Alvin. Let's start the clock on it right now. What a perfect match that'll be. Meanwhile, Ryan Day is already going in and poaching assistants from Michigan, which is extremely rich, too. Greg Madison's out. That didn't take long. 1-800-636-8686. When we come back, Xander Schauffele joins us. Good, good young golfer. That's coming up next. You still have time to get through, though. On the back end, I've got time. Freddie Kitchens to be named head coach of the Browns, according to ESPN. I, for one, like that hire. I wonder about Triple G. But then again, why would I? I'm sure he's already had 10 offers. Ask him. Welcome back. Jim Rome with you. ATP, I'll get to in a minute. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to consider O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We are joined right now by a PGA Tour golfer, four-time winner on the PGA Tour, number one in the FedEx Cup standings, number six in the world golf rankings, the 2017 PGA Tour Rookie of the Year. He won the Century Tournament of Champions on Sunday. He shot a final round 62 to win that by one stroke. Xander Schauffele is my guest. Xander, really good to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Xander, I'm great. Listen, that round on Sunday was really something, because let me start right there. You started off five shots back of Gary Woodland. So first things first, going into the round, what was your mindset?
Well, figured I'd just bogey the first hole, go six back, make it a bit easier on myself.
Right. That's exactly what happened. Go ahead.
Yeah, just had the typical nothing to lose. When you're five back, you don't really expect a whole lot. So I guess that kind of worked in my favor.
All right, so for those who missed it, that's exactly what happened. You opened up with a bogey on the first, and then you're six shots back. Might have been easy at that point to say, you know what, this is not my day. Maybe mentally pack it in, but that's not what you did. Instead, you go out and you shoot a course record, tying 11 under 62. So how do you bounce back from that first hole to do what you did?
First of all, probably freed me up. I think everyone's looking, when you're five back, they're looking for the dream start to, birdie the first five or whatnot to get sort of in some sort of position. But bogeying the first really made me not think of a whole lot. We're in Hawaii, the tournament champions, everyone's relaxed and calm for the most part. So I figured might as well just go with the butt.
Xander Schauffele joining us. That makes sense. So you have this amazing approach on 17. It's a hole that nobody had birdied until you did it, and then you chased out with a fairway wood on 18 that left you 12 feet from the hole. When the round was over, you said at that time that you were speechless. Now that you've had some time to think about it, how would you explain the feeling of that round? What did it feel like afterwards?
Man, well, yeah, I mean, thinking about it, I was speechless at the time just because I've never shot. I think that was honestly my first course record. I've been playing golf for a while, and I've never even had a course record anywhere. So to do it, you know, at that time was pretty special. And I had no idea what I was at. Like, I knew I was just chasing Gary for the most part, but I didn't really know where I was at. You know, I didn't know I was going 10, 11 deep during the round. So I was apparently just in my own world having some fun.
You know, it's worth noting also that all four of your wins on the PGA Tour have been come-from-behind wins. So how do you explain the kind of mental toughness required to run down the leader on a Sunday?
I guess that's just a position I'm comfortable in. You know, the next step in my career is going to be to sort of learn how to go wire to wire and hang on to a lead versus, you know, always having – I don't mind, you know, winning from behind. It's not a bad deal. But, you know, all the best players in the world have managed to sort of capture a lead and keep it.
Xander Schauffele joining us. You know, what's amazing about that, though, is 3 years ago, you start off the year by missing 9 cuts in 12 tournaments on the web.com tour. So at that point, where were you mentally and emotionally in your career?
Thanks for that reminder.
You're welcome, bro.
yeah, I was in a dark place, obviously. You know, every golfer's got their own little nightmares they have to deal with. Starting off as a young tour pro, that was one of them. So I knew that was something, you know, that every good players have to deal with, so I just sort of, you know, kept my head down and try to keep working.
Hey, listen, I was not going to mention that without mentioning the good stuff, because now you're a four-time winner on tour. You have top 5 finishes at the U.S. Open and the British Open. You're all the way up to number 6 in the world. Now you're getting a lot of run as one of the favorites at Augusta. Did you see all that happening when you were struggling on the web.com tour? What was your mindset then?
No, I was very worried about bills and money and all that kind of stuff. You know, obviously you dream about being, you know, in contention at the Masters and being a favorite there. But, yeah, this is also very fresh for me. And, you know, we'll just take it in stride and see how we do.
So, Xander, what was the biggest difference? What changed? How'd that thing come together the way it did?
What's that, just getting comfortable or?
Basically being where you are right now. I mean, going from a point where you were concerned about paying the bills to being a top 10 player in the world.
Yeah, it's happened awfully fast. You know, I fortunately don't get a whole lot of time to think about it. But I don't know. I guess having good people around me, guys like Charlie Hoffman wanted me to give him a shout out. So there it is. You know, guys like that, veterans on tour helping me. You know, I feel fortunate to have a good team and nice people around me to help me sort of push me through when times are tough.
I love a shout out to Charlie Hoffman. You can do that anytime you want on this program. I guess what it comes down to, how much of it do you think was between your ears and how much of it was about your game?
Yeah, I mean, I think at some point you get to a level where your game is sort of what it is. You know, you can make sort of small changes and small adjustments to it as time, you know, as your game progresses. But a lot of it was just in between my ears. You know, you're just young and you feel frustrated easily and you're just scared of what's out there. And like I said, you know, everyone around me has helped me feel more comfortable day to day.
I respect that. That's a really honest answer. Xander Schauffele joining us. The other thing is you come from a family of really elite athletes. In fact, your father was a track and field star with Olympic potential until he was hit by a drunk driver in a head-on collision. One of the things that you've talked about is that your father's experience reminds you that nothing is guaranteed and how fortunate you are to have these opportunities. How much does that motivate you and drive you?
A ton. You know, he's my mentor. He's my mental coach. You know, fortunately, he's always wanted me to experience something, you know, without permanent damage to where, you know, it's kind of life-altering, which is sort of what happened to him. So, fortunately, I haven't been put in a situation like his. You know, all good psychologists or people that have had bad things happen to them and come out on top are sort of people you want to listen to. So, I have him, and he's willing to help me whenever he can and whenever I want. So I definitely use him to help me out a lot.
All right, so one of the things that he was really big on when you were coming up and playing the game in San Diego was do not watch video of your swing. Why was that important to him? What was his philosophy?
I don't know. He just talked a lot about how he doesn't want me to be too much of a perfectionist. You know, most golfers out here it's such a weird game, and you just try and be as perfect as possible. Even if you're not really a perfectionist to start, you sort of become one the more you play golf. So I think he just wanted me to sort of steer clear and want me to trust him, which was a tricky one at first. But, you know, now he's, you know, he's got my full trust that we've made this far. So I think it was something along those lines.
Yeah, there's something about that, right? Coaches who work with their sons. When you say it was tricky about trusting him, was that because – why was that? Because he was your dad or something else?
Yeah. I mean, every kid or son, I should say, even daughter, has to deal with a dad being their coach in any sport is always a tricky one. You know, the person that's trying to help you the most is someone you really don't want to listen to when you're a teenager. So we went through that wall head first, and I'm glad we did.
Exactly right. Listen, before you go, I mentioned that you're getting a lot of run as one of the favorites at the Masters. You grew up watching the Masters on TV, of course. What was it like to play at Augusta for the first time? What do you remember about that?
Oh, man. Well, I played with Charlie Hoffman first round. There's another shout-out.
That's good.
He said you like him for some odd reason.
I do like him, dude. But I like him. I wouldn't shout him out a third time, but I do like him.
Okay, I like that. That's good. Yeah, it was a really eerie experience. You know, I remember it being really – I mean, I played a practice round before I went out for the official week, but even when I was there for the official week, it was really surreal. You know, you see all that stuff on TV, and you can sort of imagine everything that's happened there sort of while you're staying there with no one around. And I just remember being really eerie. Sort of I felt uncomfortable the whole week just because I didn't want to, you know, do something wrong or piss someone off. So I'm looking forward to going back a second time to – now that I'm, you know, more aware of what's going on.
Or most importantly, let your guy Hoffman down. That makes three. Listen, you're, golf at that level is the hardest thing. So I know you're concerned about yourself and primarily that. But you're a part of that great class of 2011, a group that includes Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, and more. Do you get motivation? Do you guys kind of feed off each other? And is there motivation that you each get from the success that the other guys have from that class?
Yeah, I mean, for me, yes. Yeah, I don't know about the other boys in our class, but I mean, I would assume that we all push each other just because we've seen each other, you know, up throughout the ranks. You know, obviously, JT and Jordan were sort of our top dogs, and they still are our top dogs. You know, Jordan's collected a ton of majors early, and JT's got a major, and he's, you know, hasn't wiggled outside the top five for a while now. So they're both guys, you know, I look up to, and they've set the bar high for young golfers moving on forward.
Listen, you're right there. Number six in the world golf rankings, number one in the FedEx Cup standings, a four-time winner on the PGA Tour, and shot a course-tying 62 to win by a stroke in the Century Tournament on Sunday. Xander Schauffele, my guest. Xander, you nailed that. Listen, great to have you on the show. Thank you very much. Good talking to you.
Thank you. Same.
Dude, tell Hoffman I said, hey. That makes four. Charlie Hoffman's right. I do like him a lot. All right, Xander, nice job. Great background, really interesting. How about his dad saying, don't watch video? This is one thing I don't want you to do. Don't watch video. 1-800-636-8686. I promise you back end time. If you want to get through, you still could. Also, time for the ATP. This says, Rome, Hawk missed two games this week. Do you even remember the last time that you took a sick day? I know you take a lot of vacation because you get a lot of vacation, but when is the last time you tapped out of a day of work? Thanks. Rob in Tacoma, Unwar Hawks Immune System. All right, so I'm all right. Like I said, Hawk took more days off this week than his predecessor took like in a decade. But that's all right. That flu is an ass kicker. It's tough. Hawk goes more than 24 hours without eating. He lost 7 pounds. He didn't know what it was. He went to the hospital. He's probably not playing at 100% right now, and he's here, so I'm fine with it. Sucked it up, got it done. Did a little bit of work from home while he wasn't here. Not as much as he could have done, but some. Some is better than none. My last day off, you know, I'm not going to sit here like I'm some kind of legend or warrior. I've taken days off. Not a lot of sick days, but I have. I'm going to say probably, I don't know. Find Stucknut. Stucknut would know. I'm afraid if I say to you it's been 3 or 4 years, somebody would say, really, Rome? You took that day off 3 months ago. I don't remember. Alvin and I were talking about it during the break. I'm going to say 3 or 4 years ago, maybe. But then again, it's kind of hard to justify sick days when I get 5+ weeks of vacation a year, right? I try to get sick on my vacation. All right, so I don't really know the answer to that. Please, man, they pay me to talk sports and interview athletes. Why would I take a day off? It's awesome. Best job ever.
No days off.
Right, Hood?
No days off.
Batman! There you go, Alvin. Way to go. Hey, Rome, I look forward to working with Aaron Rodgers. I am honored to be the new assistant head coach of the Green Bay Packers, Matt LaFleur. Yeah. I don't think that Aaron hired him, but again, it stands to reason that that's somebody Aaron's good with. Like, I'd argue that if Aaron Rodgers wanted Josh McDaniels, Josh McDaniels would have gotten that job. But instead, it goes to Matt LaFleur. Let's go to New Jersey, Gary. Hey, Gary, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, Jim. I really enjoy your show. And, you know, I saw quite a bit of that round that Chauffley played, and he has so much talent.
He is good. He is a good, good young player who's going to get better. I agree.
Yeah, the real reason I called, Jim, I never got a chance. I mean, I never talked to you. I never got a chance to share my sympathy and condolences for losing Shared Belief.
Hmm.
You know, he was, boy, when he was on his game, he was one of the greatest racehorses ever.
You know, I appreciate it. Gary, I really appreciate you saying that. Thanks so much. You know, we've kind of had this conversation, and I don't like to push really hard for it, but remember, the horse was 10 for 12 with, I want to say, five grade ones. And if not for what happened in the Breeders' Cup, I would argue he'd be a Hall. In fact, I'm going to argue he is a Hall of Famer, but there'd be no doubt had he not gotten a really bad, bad break in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Should have been taken down when he got cut off twice out of the gate terribly, but he was a great horse, Jim, and I just wanted to share my sympathy for you. I've been watching horses for 50 years, and he was one of the greatest I've ever seen look through a bridle. So,
man, that's nice. I really appreciate that, Gary. Thanks so much. I really appreciate that. Hey, listen, if I'm going to take all the phone calls that I take about, hey, man, we don't care about horse racing, keep it to yourself, on the rare occasion where somebody says, I loved your horse was a really, really great horse, I'll take that too. He said, he's one of the best I've ever seen get into a bridle. In 50 years of watching the sport, he said. He knew what he was talking about. He said, the winner should have been taken down. You know, the real irony is, you know who the winner was trained by? My man, Bob Baffert. And believe it or not, I have a horse with Bob Baffert right now. And a lot of people in the game don't. The second that we have a horse, Jamie Roth and her parents and I, and the Nexus Racing Club have a horse named Cruel Intention. And it was the Roth's horse, and we're partners on other horses, and they invited Janet and I in. And it's a cowbred trained by Bob Baffert. And the horse ran great and won its first race. And a number of my friends were like, dude, are you kidding? You and Baffert? I'm like, yeah, it's fine. It's a detailed discussion, but he's a good trainer, really good trainer. And that's a really good prospect. And I'd say we put our differences behind us, but Bob didn't think that we had any differences. Anyway, we worked it out. We worked it out. And that horse is getting a break right now. So we're looking forward to a really big 2019 from him. Anyway, Gary, thanks a lot. Heat branded products. Designed to keep your fuel system flowing even under the harshest conditions. Remove water, raise MPGs, clean the fuel system, heat, baby. Roddy Harrison way back in hour number one. That was great. Shaka Smart came in for the first time. Xander Schauffele showed up nicely. And that is your program. Thank you for listening. Have a tremendous day. Let's bring it back here on Thursday. Want to get into the matchups, the NFL matchups, in detail tomorrow. See you then. We're out.